Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and today is September 7th, 2018. Can you believe it? We're already into September. Oh my gosh, this year is just completely flying by. And with everything that's coming up, we're going to be into next year, middle of next year, before I realize it. So anyway, we have so many things coming up, and I think I will wait because I think we'll be talking about that during our show with our guest today, who I just want to go ahead and get her on. She is so amazing. I love her, love her, love her. this is Valerie. Valerie is a level 2 QHHT practitioner. And actually, I think I'm just going to do that and let you tell all that. We'll bring out everything that you've been doing as you do the show. Yeah, not give away too many things right now. Anyway, I just recently got to know Valerie a whole lot better than I ever knew her before. And oh my gosh, you are just such an amazing person and just all heart. And
we had a good time in Arkansas.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. It's always funny. It's funny how these classes go. And anyway, first of all, I'll bring you on Valerie Camozzi. Welcome. Welcome so much. And thank you for being here.
Thanks, Julia. It's great to be here. It's good to see you again.
I know, you too. It seems like just a few days ago.
I know.
And I want to apologize to everyone. Last week's show, it's when you were supposed to be on, as mom would say, the gremlins were at work. Because it just wasn't supposed to happen that day.
It was the cosmos taking over.
I mean, it was the strangest thing. I don't know if we were still in any retrogrades at that point.
I think we were kind of at a tail end of something.
If something was going on, for sure. Everything we tried, we couldn't make a connection. Mm-mm. Nothing worked. And then as soon as we let Don go with a recorded show and archive, then we started being able to do things. It was like, and then we couldn't connect back with Don to let him know that we were good.
So true. It just wasn't supposed to happen.
No, not at all. Not at all. But here we are.
Yep. Everything's divine timing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's just get on because we may have to do 3 shows to get your full story in. So I'm going to get right on and let's just talk about your life. Valerie Camozzi, this is your life.
Oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. Well, it's interesting because I have to say it was really a journey to where I am now with QHHT. And I love every step of the way, although it was, as your mom would say, convoluted in how I got there. But it was amazing because I'll start back with, you know, when I was a kid, I had a really vivid imagination. Little did I know that was a precursor for QHHT. But it was interesting because when I was younger, my mom always said you could do whatever you want. So I was very fortunate to grow up with parents like that. And my mom was really, she reminds me so much of your mom. They were ahead of their time. Mm-hmm. And my mom did things that a woman just didn't do. She was a chemistry major and won chemistry awards at a time when women couldn't even take science courses. Wow. And then she was a VP of a bank and a teacher and all these other things. And I saw that and it was kind of mentoring in that I could do whatever I want to do. And so my convoluted route was 10 years of teaching where I went through 2 master's programs in special education and elementary education. But they weren't really hiring. So I did a lot of substitute work. And then I did get a special ed job. But it was a lot of laying off, rehiring, laying off. So you and I share a background because then I went into nursing. So I did that for 25 years. And I think you did it for 20 plus years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know what that's like. You're very science oriented. You're very medically oriented. And it was great. I did neonatal and pediatric for intensive care for 25 years.
I had neonatal intensive care in there too.
And it was it was wonderful. I mean, it was great. I loved connecting with the preemies and the parents and parents in crisis, and just being able to support and do whatever you could to help their bond with their little infant and make sure they all go home happily ever after.
Because that's so important, because those babies are just in these little incubators and they're or just various things. And sometimes they have so much equipment to them, the parents are afraid to touch them. Absolutely. Or do anything. And that's so vital at that point.
Yeah, they think they're going to break them. And really, it's just, and it's so beautiful when it happens. I mean, kids would be, you know, they would be like 12 ounces, and you could still have them on the ventilator and kangaroo on the mom's or dad's chest. And the dads were funny because the babies would snuggle in there and you have to go down reaching for them to get them back out. But it was great. It was great. And all the research showed too that it was so nurturing for the baby. They gained weight faster, and it was just, it was a wonderful experience. But it was actually in nursing that things started happening that kind of rocked my world.
Okay, tell us about it.
You heard a little bit about this, but it was interesting. I started seeing things and hearing things, and don't really tell your medical colleagues that, because you don't want the white jacket.
No, so, because there's a whole rotation in nursing school for that, and that's called psych nursing.
There you go.
We don't want to be.
And I love psych nursing, by the way, too. I almost went into it. So things were happening. I would hear things and I would see things. And I have to say, the parents are the most in tune psychic I've ever seen. If their baby, something was happening or going on in the unit, oh my gosh, you'd get a phone call 2 a.m., 3 a.m. They knew exactly when it was happening. And that was both parents. That was the mom or the dad. The dad would be at work and he'd be calling, is everything going okay? Can I give an update report on my kid? And it's like, sure, she'll be with you in just a minute. But it was great. But for me, I started, yeah, I'm saying this live, I started hearing little voices. And the voices were telling me what was happening or what was wrong. And I don't pretend to diagnose, prescribe, or treat. Right. It's just not what I would ever do. Right. And I wasn't even sure I was believing it either. At one point, believe it or not, because I was seeing and hearing so much, I did have a CT scan to make sure I didn't have a brain tumor. Honestly, I did. And of course, it was normal. But that just really changed things for me. You know, pathophysiology was our thing. What's this? You know, how does that fit in with anything? It doesn't.
It doesn't.
So, and there was no one to talk to. So I started searching for answers and I started taking some classes. Even before that, the messages I was getting, it's not like I would say, oh, to a neonatologist or to a pediatrician or to my fellow nurse. I didn't say, this is what I heard. What I would say is, can you check that heart one more time? Can you just, you know, I'm just not sure about this. And sure enough, it would be exactly what the wise voice, I say the infant's higher self, whatever, you know, your belief system is. And it was accurate. And the more I trusted that, the more accurate it became. And it was, it's not that it, well, it did help me help the child, but it also, it was beneficial to everyone, because then you could get to what was going on with the infant. And one time I was in the middle of the unit, and I worked in a high level intensive care, and I was in the middle of the unit and there was no alarm or anything, but I felt like a tap on my shoulder, and I'm looking around and there's no one around me. My baby's doing good. So I walked to the center of the unit and I look up, and accidentally alarm was silent and the baby wasn't doing well. And, you know, it was things like that. I just trusted it. I started going remote control, but I wanted to get answers, because this isn't in my world. You know, I'm a nurse. This doesn't make sense to me.
No.
So I kept seeking out teachers, and I have to be honest, I didn't resonate with a lot of the metaphysical teachers that were out there. And I think they're wonderful. I think we all align with who we're supposed to align with. And I did study at the Berkeley Psychic Institute for 2 years, but it wasn't what I was looking for. I was looking for more. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't answering my questions. So I went to typical.
Let me ask you what it was doing. I mean, what was that for? Was it to develop your psychic ability or?
It was, but I liked doing it my way because it was coming naturally. And they had a form, and the form wasn't fitting my way. Right. And I felt like it was holding me back somewhat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to know everything I was seeing. And that's just not the way it worked. Wonderful place. I think it's a great place for going and discovering and meeting people and furthering your skills. So not in that respect do I say that it's not good. I think it's wonderful mm-hmm. if that's what you're looking for. I was looking for something a little bit different. Don't worry, I went 2 years. So then I was in a bookstore with a friend, and I'm not kidding, a deck of cards fell onto my foot. And I've heard this story so many times by so many other people. And I flipped it over. It was Doreen Virtue. So my friend really wanted the deck of cards. I said, take it. You know, what do I care? You know, I don't do cards. I mean, what does that mean? So I went on a search to try to find those cards. It was the last deck in that store, and I couldn't find them anywhere.
Oh, how funny.
So I finally went into a bookstore and had them order it for me. And then she was in my neighborhood, just about. She was in Santa Cruz, and I thought, I'll drive down there. It's pretty down there, and see what it's all about. I walked in, and I was going to turn around and leave, and they closed the doors. So I couldn't leave because I just wasn't sure, you know, how this fit into my life. And once she came in and started speaking, it was like this peace and calm. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. But I have to tell you, working for Doreen as her staff, I ended up working for her as her staff for many, many years. And I learned so much, and I'm grateful for every minute of it. Mm-hmm. Kept hearing Dolores Cannon's name. And from Doreen, not in my head.
Okay, I'm thinking that. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But no. And so I paid attention. I remember writing her name down. Mm-hmm. Life happens. Sure. And no matter what I tried to orchestrate to attend a lecture or a bookstore or a class, never happened. It was kids. It was timing. It was school. It was work. It was my husband's work, travel. So in 2013, I said, now's the time. I'm gonna check this out. Okay. And I wrote the office, emailed the office, and I contacted the office. And I said, any chance are you going to have, because I was working night shift, are you going to have an online course? And I thought, of course, they're going to say no. And they said, it's in the works. So I got really excited, and I didn't know what it would hold for me, but let me tell you, again, my life changed forever. I mean, I couldn't get enough. I think I probably did the most replay as long as you could before you went to the next section. So I think I was one of the first pilot people in that program.
Say it started in 13.
Yeah, well, there you go. And it was amazing. I felt like she was right there teaching me one-on-one. I mean, it was the most incredible, intensely wonderful experience I've ever had. So I was really excited to get started. Mm-hmm. I've been practicing since 2013, and it's been so much fun. And then I had to take level 2 because I wanted more. You know when you flip something when you want more. When you're walking away from something, you're probably complete with that. Yeah. But when you're searching and searching, and it started answering more than I could even imagine questions I had. And I hear that often from clients too. It's like, I had this question and then I saw this YouTube video and Dolores answered it, or I picked up her book and it was right there in Dolores's book. So it was really exciting. So I took from your mother and you were co-teaching it up there on stage in 2014 in Springdale.
Oh, yes. Was that the last in September, or was that?
It was earlier. In June.
Okay, it was the earlier one then. Okay.
Yeah, it was in June, and I loved it so much. And it's funny because I was talking to your mom about. She was so nice. She'd be walking down the aisle, and you'd stop her to talk to her, and she'd just stop and chat, and it was great. So I had some questions for her, and she answered every single one of them. It was wonderful. Really. Awesome class. And then, and I met my tribe there, you know, people I'm still in contact with. So I loved it so much that I went back July 2015 and took another level two. And it was kind of cool because I could see the back of my head on the screen.
I was going to say, because yeah, you were in the class that we show in the films that we recorded.
But it was great because when I was sitting there in the second level two, I felt like I was right there and your mom was teaching and you were teaching, and it was great. It was, and I met more people. So every time you go to something like that, you meet so many wonderful people and it becomes such a great community and network. So that was pretty cool. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, you've had more since then now.
More?
Oh yeah. You just Why are we in Arkansas?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, Julia, I don't think I told you this, but I was so shocked that I took level three. And the reason I say that is not because I didn't think of taking it someday, but how it was orchestrated. I wonder if your mom had something to do with it. Because,
oh, no.
I mean, seriously, let me tell you how it really happened.
Okay.
So a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, dear colleague of mine, said, oh, that's great. You're going to take the April level three. I know there's room in it. I never said anything about taking level three period or April level three. And then I got this really cool email from you saying, you can come to the level three. And it's like, no, not yet. Not yet. And as it happened, I had commitments and I had clients. I was really booked. So it wasn't going to happen anyway for now. And then there was the August class. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, someday I'll take it. And then there was only one place left in the August class. Okay, this is a sign. Maybe I should take it. And I did. And I'm forever grateful. It was amazing. And I can just tell you in a nutshell, level one is like taking your bachelor's degree. And level two is like going for your master's, refining. And level three is like going for the PhD, where there's not a doubt in your mind that the method you're using is providing the highest, best results for your client. And that's what it's all about, what you can do for your client, how you can help them.
My whole body's buzzing.
It's how you can help them in the best way possible, facilitating it. You know, we're not doing it. It's their higher consciousness, higher self. Their SC is the one doing the healing and showing them the most incredible parts of past lives, parallel lives, current lives, and amazing results. I mean, I'm
well, and that's what we'll talk about. So has your world grown in your understanding since you've been doing sessions?
Oh my gosh, my head has expanded. Your mom says like a pretzel, but my mind, my head, I don't have expectations anymore, because when I do, they're superseded every single time. And I have to say, even in the beginning, when practicing at level one, it was phenomenal. It was just my clients' eyes were closed because they were in that beautiful, peaceful, relaxed state. And I would have tears streaming down my face because it was such a high vibrational, beautiful energy beyond words. And it's like, okay, I can do this. But it's just, it's amazing. Just, and the transformations you see, incredible, just incredible. And it's on every level, mental, physical, emotional.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Because some people, that's where they, like clients, they may be expecting something physical to happen, but right. then something, it happens another way. So, you know, and so if you want to talk a little bit more about that, because I'm getting that you have gotten a lot of information about that in your sessions as to the whole thing.
It's really interesting. And there's three clients that stick out in my mind, and these three clients are very different experiences. Okay. It shows where transformation and self-healing takes place on different levels. So one that really stood out was this client. He was a yoga teacher and he was about to travel. And I even asked your mom about this one in person. Uh-huh. And he was about to travel and it was sad. He had an incident that occurred where he was out with his girlfriend and another couple, and some random teenagers had baseball bats and decided to beat up the two men. And as a result, he ended up with a plate in his skull, a rod in his leg, and screws. Well, he wanted to heal from the emotional trauma of that, and he was hoping to find either in a past life or with his higher self to get some healing around that. Mm-hmm. He wasn't so concerned about the information as he wanted emotional healing around the trauma of that. Sure. And he was leaving the next day to go teach in Bali. So, I think it was the next day. So I didn't know if I'd even hear from him again or see him again. But what was so unique about his session was the emotional trauma was healed. It was an experience not to be repeated. Why it happened, he wasn't even searching for why it happened, but it was really to let him know that there are energies out there and you don't have to take on that energy. You don't have to hold that in your body. You don't have to use that and get stuck in the past. So I'm paraphrasing it, but all that was released for him. And then it was, you know, I didn't know this at the time. I got an email later, but he told me that he felt the rod physically move in his leg during the session. And he emailed me when he got to Bali, and he said that he has not had any pain, and he thought he was going to have to stop teaching, but that was his life. Mm-hmm. And he's a self-taught yoga teacher who was picked up by Bikram to teach all over.
Wow.
And he's phenomenal and people love him. He's got a huge following.
It's probably not his first time doing it.
Probably not. Probably not. He did have some interesting past lives. So he left the next day. He went to Bali. He did email me and he said that not only did it move, that he was 100% pain free. Now, there's no expectation by the QHHT facilitator, me, the practitioner. But it was so cool that, you know, he was able to heal himself with his higher self in this experience and continue to reap the benefits. And he said he listened to his tape the whole way on the plane over, and he just got more healing, more insight. Yeah. And changes that were recommended could be made. So it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And his whole session, I mean, I was vibrating along like it was, oh my gosh, But you know, it's interesting because I did stop your mother and I asked her, I said, so what about plates and screws? And she just smiled and nodded her head. Mm-hmm. And she said, it's happening.
Yes.
And she said that the higher self does not like plates and screws in the body. And she said that some are now dissolving. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And that was in
2014.
I was going to say that was probably in 14. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That was the first time he took it. Yes.
So for
and
him,
they were.
He received both an emotional and physical healing. And you never know. The facilitator never knows where it's going to go, or right. And it's all up to the client. You know?
Absolutely.
Are they ready to heal? Are they ready to understand what the message is so they can move forward?
Well, like you said, he was listening to it all the way over there and probably continued to. So he understood the value of it. He understood what was happening and understood at least he's got to follow through with this.
Yeah.
And that's really all you have to do.
Yeah. Right? I had another woman and it was amazing. She came and she wanted permanent healing for her breast cancer.
Okay.
So we went through about a 3-hour interview and it was very interesting. She was very angry, felt that her family never supported her in any way, siblings and parents, and gave examples of how they never supported her throughout her life. And they weren't there to support her through chemotherapy and surgery. And so but she was very excited. She couldn't wait. She had an expectation, couldn't wait for her past life. To see who she was, what she was, and all of that. Well, it was interesting because you know there's a wisdom that is so beyond ours that we never know how this is actually going to happen, what's going to happen. But we know they're always shown exactly what they need to know. And she was in current life. So they showed her in the womb. And how loved and anticipated she was. Aww. It was beautiful. And then they showed her as a little girl, really young, and she was with her grandparents. And there were other siblings, but she's the one that got to go to her grandparents' house sometimes by herself. What a privilege. And she was shown a scene where she was cooking with her grandmother, and then she was going to her grandfather's place of work. And they'd go for ice cream afterwards. It was just, it was adorable. It just went on and on and on. Then she was shown a period where she was a high school cheerleader and her boyfriend, beautiful, amazing, loved her friends, loved cheerleading, was a great student. I mean, life was good. Then she was shown her high school graduation. And again, her parents invited her boyfriend, her best friend, her other friends, her grandparents were there. And it was, and she was just beaming with the most incredible, it still gives me chills, smile, you know, laying there just smiling and loving the experience, remembering every part of it and how good it was and how wonderful her parents were to do this for her. And who was there, what they were having, what they did afterwards. And then they showed her wedding to her partner. Her parents were there. And she got to feel the emotions her parents felt. And tears were coming down her face. And it was beautiful and wonderful. And when I asked the higher self, why it chose that life, current life, to show her, it was so she could see how loved and nurtured and supported she was throughout her life and still is. So it was amazing.
Yeah, for some reason, she was choosing to only remember, or she had a slanted memory.
Her perception in her conscious mind was very different from the perception she was shown by her higher self. Very different.
Yeah. I'm getting, he's like, well, you can also look at it like this. And that's the high self is so wonderful at that, giving that perspective.
And who would have figured, you know, I mean, current life. And so we talked about it after, and she goes, oh, I didn't have a past life, did I? It's like, no. I said, but how do you feel now? And she goes, oh my gosh, I feel light, like a ton's been lifted. And it made her think. Now, we don't expect follow-up. We never know what's going to happen. But I haven't heard from her. But if she listens to her tape and understands the message her body was giving her, that's self-healing with the higher self. She can make Absolutely. The changes.
Yeah, because that's, we know cancer is anger.
And well, so if she soul
will let that go. Yes.
Speak. Your book is phenomenal. I tell everybody about that book. All my fellow practitioners in the medical field, I tell about that book. Uh-huh. So I love it. And I love that little, I call it my cheat sheet, the index.
Like the quick guide, I think.
Quick reference guide. Yeah. I use that because you can go down body systems. Oh, okay, check. I get it. And use it for myself too. Oh, is that what's going on? But it's a great book. Thank you for writing that.
Thank you. Thank them. Thank you.
Yeah, it's powerful. So yeah. I have one more. Do we have time?
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. There was one more. And this was an interesting case. I'm giggling now in hindsight, but it was very informative too, where this woman came. And she wanted to know why she chose a current life of being anorexic.
Okay.
Beautiful woman. Absolutely looked healthy, beautiful. So I'm just listening to her story and she's talking. And I'm not in the interview. I'm not really finding the connection. But, you know, let's see what the higher self has to say about it and what she's shown. Right. Well, I'll just summarize it with this part of the story. But so she just kept saying, I'm starving, I'm starving, I'm starving. And it was a very interesting voice that she was using. And it was...
Was that in the interview or was that in the session?
No, in the session, in the QHHT session part now.
Starving, okay.
And during her session, she just kept saying, I'm starving, I'm starving. It was almost like a cartoon character. And I'm trying to figure out what she is because we don't want to leave them.
Right.
And I'm asking all these questions and, you know, how do you perceive yourself? What do you see around, you know, mm-hmm. And she is still searching for food and hungry. I'm not kidding you. After about 30 minutes of trying to figure out what she is. Oh yes. 30 minutes. It was amazing. She was a snake.
I had that visual.
She was a snake and she was starving. And the SC told her she carried that into her present life and that she didn't need to carry that anymore. And that if it could be released in that session. And the emotional component, she never understood why she was, and you know, there's a whole psychology behind anorexia, and I'm not pretending to be very versed in that, but in her life, she's got a good life, you know, in the interview. And so she couldn't figure out why she was anorexic. It's just, she felt like she was always starving. And so anyway, that was kind of a cool session because she could make that connection and know that she doesn't have to carry it any longer in this life.
And that's a wild one.
I know. I've had rocks. Well, I've had trees.
Yeah. Well, we say a lot of times if they have issues with the weight, it can go back to a life where they were starved or they were, you know, or they had too much or something like that. But a snake, that's really.
It's like, okay, we're going to get somewhere. I'm going to latch on to something. And then finally she goes, I'm a snake.
Wow. So what was it like to be a snake?
She said that it was, well, she kept saying she was slithering along.
That was a big clue, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not going to say, are you a snake?
Right. Right.
So, she was slithering. It was dark, but she could see very acutely. Her eyesight was very acute. So there definitely were parts where it was very vivid, you know, what she was seeing. I mean, there were leaves and there were, you know, describing the ground and the terrain and everything. So it was interesting. It was
very cool. Yeah, from that perspective.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's some of the, that's where the convoluted universe books came from, were things like that. You know, and you just keep digging for that perspective, for that, what's it like to be that? And then it goes on.
And that's why
the lesson was.
And that's why your mom always said it's mind expanding. No kidding.
Right. Because first of all, to allow in there that you can be these things, like you're saying, rocks and plants and trees and all kinds of things. And
but there's a lesson. I was kelp.
You were kelp.
There you go.
And what was it like to be kelp?
It was beautiful. I didn't know what I was. There was just this peace and serenity. And the movement, I didn't know was liquid. It was just movement, and mm-hmm. it was bliss, pure bliss. And then pop, I was out of the water and I was kelp.
Oh,
I don't know how that happened. It just happened.
You were harvested?
I guess. I don't know. All of a sudden I was on top of the water.
Interesting.
Yeah. These sessions are beautiful, amazing. I had someone who had a parallel life was John Hancock.
Okay.
And his question was, one of his interview questions was, why am I so obsessed and fascinated with George Washington?
There you go.
It was wild. It was great. It was fun.
Yeah, you never know.
No.
That you'll come into. That's what's exciting about this, because it's an adventure for both parties.
It is. And there's always information you're seeking, because the higher self 100% knows before the person even shows up what they need to know for their highest and best good. And it never fails.
Well, like you were saying, it may not be what they were expecting.
Right.
But it's always what they need.
Right.
And so it's best to come in with no expectations.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then it just goes. It's all nice and smooth, and you get what they need. You're more open, I think. Because I know from the things that I've seen, if you come in with expectations, it shuts down a lot of it, because you want it to go a certain way. And when it starts not going that way, you're like, oh, it's not working. It's not working.
Right.
So, and I'm saying this because there are a lot of people out there that have had these experiences. And they don't realize that they're the ones that have probably shut down their session,
and
because the expectations.
And it's for us too, growing and evolving as practitioners, knowing that, hey, you leave your expectations at the door, because it could be a steak, could be kelp, or it could be current life or parallel life. Parallel lives are trippy. I mean, I didn't even begin to understand that. I had to pick up and read some of your mom's books, because I've had a lot of people that were, who's to say we're not all living parallel lives, but for them to come through in a session is very interesting to the client, but makes so much sense for the client. There's always a rationale and reason in why they're shown that. And that's a beautiful part of it. It's just amazing.
We still have like 15 minutes. So have you gotten, let's just talk about some, because these are wonderful cases that you're talking about. And that's what I always love to discuss, cases. What are some other weird ones? We'll call them weird.
Oh, okay. So, and I did write a blog about this on the...
As if a snake wasn't weird. But it's not to me, but...
Yeah, not any longer. Not me either. Not since 2013.
Actually, none of them are weird to me. Just it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. But there was, it was interesting. I'm not kidding. For weeks, I had clients, all walks of life. And their life counsel showed up. And I blogged about this on your QHHT official forum or website. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had counsels from the 8th dimension, the 9th dimension, the 12th dimension. And I had to ask, who are these light counsels? Of course, then I pick up one of your mom's books after the sessions, and she's talking about light counsels. Now, why didn't I see that before? But it was good validation. And it shows when so many people report this, mm-hmm. how can you refute it? I mean, they're all giving the same information. So this one particular person wanted a physical healing. That's what she came to the session for, and curiosity mm-hmm. also. And I actually did two sessions on her. And the first session was very interesting. It was, you know, the light counsel came through, but it, you know, her SC came through also. And it was just information about who she was. The second session unfolded even more. And the light counsel, in the first session, she was shown in her current life as a child, the day she had to grow up and become an adult as a child, wow. as a very young child. It was the day her father died. Wow. And but it was beautiful how it was shown to her. It's just amazing. And she got so much release and healing, emotional healing from that. So, okay, fast forward. Now we're in the second session. And the second session was, and not that anybody needs a second session. It just happened that we both wanted to explore this a little more. So she came back for a second session and light counsel showed up immediately. Okay, so she's not going to be shown current, past life or anything. That's fine. And I asked if they could answer questions for her. And they said, sure. And they were giving profound answers to her questions, really deep and beautiful and amazing. And then it got to, well, can you do the healing on her? And it was, again, it was absolutely beautiful. She, well, first I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding. They said no. And it's like, what do you mean you can't do a healing? And last time when they said no, they couldn't do a physical healing for her, even though we know all healing is self-healing and it's coming from the higher self. It's not coming from us. First time they said no, I went to the SC and the SC started the healing. That was confirmed in the second session that some of the healing had started, but not by the light counsel. And I couldn't figure out why. So I kept asking in different ways, like, what do you mean you can't do the healing? But I didn't say it like that. I said it much nicer. And they said, it's not something we do. And I said, why not? And they said, because it's not our purpose. And then all of a sudden, and I kept hearing, while I'm having this conversation, my client's answering, I kept hearing, I give permission, I give permission, I give permission. What are you giving permission to? So I said, can I know what you're giving permission to so we could have it on the recording so she can hear it later?
Right.
And it was for the technical beings to work on her. So the light counsel was right. It wasn't their purpose. But they had technical beings that work on human form and other forms. And then my client said, oh my. And I said, oh, what are you experiencing now? and I said, please share. And she said, I'm on an operating table. And then I thought, this is awesome. They're working on her. Mm-hmm. And it was, she described the beings. It was very interesting to hear the description of the beings. They were kind of etheric and floating and had instruments and light was beaming through her. And then afterwards, she was telling me, you know, after I counted her up and she was out, she was telling me, "Ooh, that hurt a little bit." And I said, "Oh my gosh, you should have told me I could remove any sensations you're having." She goes, "No, no, I asked for it." I said, "What do you mean you asked for it?" And she said, "I wanted to know where they were working. So I asked them to let me feel it, please." She said, "It didn't hurt that bad." And I thought, whoa. And so she got what she set the intention with and allowed her higher self and her self-healing to take place. Yeah. So it was beautiful. And again, no matter what, everyone gets something from their session. Mm-hmm. And what they get is such a beautiful gift. And if they listen to the recording, they get more gifts and more information. So it's great.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. I know people listening are going to want this. Can we explore the light councils a little bit more? What was their purpose?
Well, it depends.
Or what is their purpose? They're in present tense, not past.
There were different light councils, so many of them. I say 8th, 9th, and 12th, but there were more. In fact, they said they were communicating through my light council, or with my light council. And there's just so many purposes. Some are caretakers of the earth or people they've sent to earth, you know, in human form. This particular person has never been in a body before. So she wanted to take on and experience some of what humans were experiencing in their physical body and their physical illness. So she's like a direct link to the Light Council to upload that information to them.
Yeah.
So they know. Another Light Council was a caretaker of the physical earth. They were involved in the creation of the earth, and they have a vested interest in knowing that the earth is not going to collapse. There was another one, Light Council, that was, it sounds like sci-fi, huh?
But that's our world.
it's our world.
Where do you think sci-fi comes from?
Oh yeah, exactly. Hello, the flip phones on Star Trek. Yes.
Exactly.
No, it's amazing. And I think, you know, the sci-fi comes through, not the scary sci-fi, but the imaginative sci-fi, so that we can calibrate and adjust and understand more. And it's a way of disseminating information in that way. Definitely. Close Encounters, all of those movies. So another council was like a way station. It was communicates with many, many planets. But I want to get back to the council about Earth. It was interesting because they don't want Earth to affect other planets in the galaxy. Mm-hmm. They think we're primitive in as far as our misuse of energy and resources and things on Earth. And they're watching that, and they're trying to help us in the best way so we could help each other. So there's information coming through all the time about that. But the way station one was interesting because it really was about other planets. And one person who's connected to some people are directly part of the Light Council that are here, like the woman that was experiencing all the physical illness. But some are like part of, they're in a human body. It is their first life, but they go back and forth all the time. And how they go back and forth is, and, you know, again, your mind has to expand. I'm not sure I fully comprehend it. But it's like they're a ship in themselves.
Uh-huh.
And they go back.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting, but every single council that I experience through these sessions were all helpful and investigating. And I did ask because I had in some experiences with different clients, it came up that some are not here to help. And I thought, oh, is that going to be a scary thing? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. They're just not involved with humans. If you're going to blow up yourself, you're going to blow up yourself. Yeah, if you're
your
going
business.
Yeah. They're just like, you know, okay, next. I mean, they're just.
So what were they here for if they weren't here?
To learn, to experience, okay. To observe. They were
a
here
lot of observation,
observe.
Isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was interesting. That was really interesting. It's like, okay, it's not a big scary thing. It's not a anything. They're just here to observe.
Exactly. Yeah. And here, yeah, it's your fears.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That creates these other things.
The scary sci-fi movies.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
The day the world ends. Mm-hmm.
And that was just somebody's imagination going that way. Just going, oh, what would it be like if? And then and it
well,
scares people.
Had. That's one thing we learn from our sessions. We never end.
No.
We're always energy. Mm-hmm. And we're energy now. Our bodies, we're energy.
It's so cool. That's probably one of the biggest realizations for people is to see that. Because then you're not afraid of death. You're not afraid of, it just eliminates all these unknowns out here.
So many people go directly to source in these sessions. Because that's where they came from. And it's beautiful. It's just colors and peace and calm. And I let them enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm noticing the time. Before we run out of time, I want you to let everybody know how to contact you if they want to. And you're located, we didn't say where you are.
So. I'm in San Rafael near the San Francisco Bay Area. And they can contact me at Val Camozzi, ValCamozzi.com.
Fantastic. That's easy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have like one or two minutes left here. So what are some of the big messages? I usually ask for a parting message from you, but what are some like the big messages that you hear from the high selves?
You know, and you give me goosebumps when you say that. They're always saying how loved you are and that you're doing a good job. And the voice changes to this otherworldly, beautiful, beautiful, unconditional love. But they're always saying, you're so loved, you're doing a good job.
Yeah. And how, oh my gosh, my whole body's buzzing now too. I mean, isn't that gorgeous? Wouldn't that, that's a wonderful way to leave the session. It's because they feel that too.
And we feel
all that
it.
Love. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because it pours out.
And when it's happening and when they're saying that, they're usually streaming with tears. And I love to see it, especially in the men. I just love when they just let it flow. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're at time, and that was gorgeous. Thank you so much, Val.
That was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's been wonderful. Mm-hmm. And, they're saying have her back again. So, because there's so much more. It would be fun because... what everybody doesn't know is what we do in our spare time and fun things that we do. And that's what apparently they want that to be shared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never done that before. So that would be cool. We can do that because it's a blast. It's so
much fun. it's a high energy. It's high vibrational, fun, joy, laughter.
Lots of laughter.
Lots of stories.
Yes, absolutely. Well, anyway, so till next time, Val.
Yes.
All right. So
thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. All right. So everyone, we'll wish you adieu and have a wonderful, wonderful week. And gosh, September. still can't believe that. Oh, I wanted to announce real quick, we have classes coming up in Hawaii, a whole score of them. That's I cannot imagine a better place for classes to be on this level. So please go to our site to find out more information about that. That's QHHTofficial.com. You'll get all the information you could ever want there. So anyway, see you all very soon, and aloha.
I love that.
Bye-bye. Bye.